Public Works, go to see. Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order, Public Works, Public Safety, it is 4:45 PM, January 12th, on a Tuesday. Any public comments before we begin? Any public comments? Go ahead, stand up.
May I offer a comment?
Sure, stand up, give us your name and address, and then, tell us what's on your mind.
My name is Mary Nuarney, and we now live at 520 Southwest Fifth Street in Phoenix. We moved 150 feet. Really like it. Where do you want me to stand?
Wherever you feel comfortable.
Okay. I'll stand back here.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen.
Could you give me your address one more time, sorry?
I beg your pardon, my name?
Give me your address one more time?
Oh, 520 Southwest Sixth Street.
Okay.
Fifth Street, I'm on Fifth. Thank you again, Mr. Christensen and fellow Wilmer City officials, for allowing me and these other citizens to appear before you today about a matter in which we have a common interest. I am Mary Nuarney, and I live on Fifth Street Southwest. We come to you with an urgent problem of safety for all our Wilmer neighbors and patrons of downtown Wilmer. I also come to you with what I believe to be a simple solution. After watching more carefully this summer the traffic on Fifth Street Southwest between Becker and Todd Avenues, I took particular attention to the amount of speed and the amount of, attention to the amount and speed in which all of this had increased over the past several years. Then this fall, seeing the school buses unloading station was actually on Fifth Street itself, between these two aforementioned avenues, I was particularly struck by how dangerous this situation is. A little personal history may inform you better about my unofficial concerned observations. What I saw was a serious problem for those students unloading and running around the buses to get to their waiting parents' cars across the street or in the Block 50 parking lot. In their youthful exuberance to exit the bus and get to their driver's cars, few looked right or left before dashing across the street. I learned from others that attempts had been made in previous years to address the same problem, with no change to protect them or any other person, fit or not so fit, who wishes to cross mid-block after parking their car in or near Block 50. I spoke to Mr. John Bacon, the new director of the Pioneer Library System, who is here with us tonight, and he told me of his unsuccessful attempt to resolve the same issue. What appears as an unsolvable problem to some is rather a critical challenge to be resolved. I am fairly aware of the safest sidewalks and streets in which to walk, thanks to his father. I have also seen the increase in traffic over the past 20 years I have been walking downtown. Early in the day or late in the afternoon, downtown Wilmer traffic has grown to be a fast track anomaly. When drivers approach directly from the south or making right or left-hand turns off Trot Avenue, the increase in speed is rather startling. Speed in one form or another has become an acceptable form in America, but it should never be accepted if there is any danger to any human being, be they a child or an adult, in sunshine or icy shining time. So my husband Dick and I agreed that we would come to you today with this urgent appeal and brought a few friends with us who are also interested in this issue. We propose a rather simple solution to what appears to us as the natural, safe pathway for everyone. The proposal is to create a marked with yellow stripes, which every driver living in America understands, a broad walkway from curb to curb on each side of Fifth Street from the library to the parking lot. This plan does not appear to require the removal of any parking spaces on either side of the street. It would be addressed from the yellow curbing strip, which is directly in front of the library, to one of the driveway entrances to the Block 50 parking lot. In addition, it would require one sign attached to each stop sign at the corners of 5th and Trot and 5th and Becker, alerting all drivers to watch for anyone using the pedestrian walkway ahead. This may not be ideal, but it is certainly a good start, and would let everyone passing either way that we regard everyone here using our streets to be of great value to Wilmer, their families, and their friends. I appreciated the call from the Chief of Police, Jim Felt, of his interest in this proposed action, as well as conversations with Mayor Marv Kelvin and Councilwoman Audrey Nelson. Thank you for your kind attention and hearing me out, and I look forward to your interest in this vital proposal. At a minimum cost to the City of Wilmer, and for the safety of all, we encourage you to take action in favor of this proposal. I'll take any questions that I think I could answer. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments and your input. This was on the agenda tonight. It was going to be after our police and fire updates. We were going to speak to it because I had several phone calls also on it and one email. Committee wished to discuss it presently before we go to the fire, and since she's made her comments, let's just move this item up to right now. And I know that, Sean, you've been made aware of it, and,
yes.
And the police chief and fire. Any comments from you on what her proposal or their proposal?
Question first, I think. So the yellow stripe you're talking would be across the street, mid-block?
It would be on the street, sir, right on the street, running east and west, the stripes this way, between the library and the curb of block 50. And there are two entrance driveways to block 50, but there is approximately a 100-foot spread in front of the library so that the walkway could be a junction to that and be at the discretion of the council how wide it would need to be.
Here it is up on the screen. You can see the area right here. There's the church, here's the library.
And so you're talking a yellow stripe from roughly this entrance
right
across the street to here?
Roughly, yes, sir.
As this committee knows, and anybody that's asked or that's talked to me knows, I hesitate to say never, but I'm not in favor of mid-block crosswalks. My feeling is they create more harm than good. They create a false sense of security, or they can, and it creates a confusion factor for traveling public to, do we stop, when do we stop, and then people potentially walk out without looking, without doing anything because the crosswalk is there. I know of one in town, and that's at Tross with lighted flashing lights, but like I say, my personal opinion is I am not in favor of mid-block crosswalks of any kind for those being a few of the reasons. We have come up with a couple other potential options that we can discuss tonight if you wish, or if you guys have other ideas or questions or comments.
Any comments from committee?
I'd like to hear what his options are. Yeah. And I also had a question when I found out that the school buses were dropping off there.
Right.
And I was curious if they're using the library or if they're actually going in and using the library or if they're just using it as a place for parents to pick up, because I know the same thing happens over by Heritage Bank.
Yep.
With, I think it's KMS.
Yep.
And that street is, full
yep.
for a half an hour probably.
Yep.
So I'm just curious if there are locations or how they chose that location. I was assuming they maybe were using the library, but someone said they're not, that it's more of a just drop off and
running. I can comment on that.
Yes, I would like to.
Yeah. I'm John Bacon, and just to correct Mary Lou's, that's okay. I'm not the new director of PLS, Pioneerland Library System, but rather the new head librarian at Wilmer Public Library, and have been since a year ago in September. John Bacon. And as far as the bus drop off, that was an existing situation when I came in. And I think it's the KMS bus that stops in front of the library and drops off the students, I'm pretty sure. And I think a good lot of the students come in and use the library. A lot of them go immediately to the internet terminals and sign on, and others mill around and use the library as they may. We are completely welcoming of that group, and we don't monitor them very closely. We just do our library duties as we usually are doing, but we do kind of shoo them out of the entryway because we don't allow loitering there, and so sometimes we have to do that, but for the most part they wait for their parents. I think a lot of the parents come pretty immediately, but a number of parents, you know, might be an hour or something like that before they come pick up their children.
So basically the bus drops off the kids here. Do they pick them up there 2 a.m?
I'm not sure if we're not open till 9, and so if
it might be prior
before,
to that.
Right.
But what you're saying is then the bus does drop the kids off there, and they either get picked up or they're in the library for a period of time before they get picked up.
Yeah, and oftentimes the parents are parking in and near, and it creates a bit of a
bottleneck.
So.
Dick, you had a comment too?
Yes, I do. You know, we're talking about the safety of children, not the yellow lines. The cost should be minimal, really. And I would think that you would consider the safety of the children number one. And if you don't do that, someday you're going to regret it. It's an accident waiting to happen.
We understand that. With public safety and public works, we deal a lot with crosswalks and signs, and you have to understand, Sean is our city engineer and our public works director here, and we've heard him speak many times about signs are fine, but we get requests for stop signs and yield signs and slow down signs, different neighborhoods, because there's kids crossing there also, but they also give a false sense of security. You figure, well, there's a stop sign there, I'm going to walk across. You better stop and look for cars, because there's cars that go through stop signs or yield signs. So that's kind of where Sean's coming from. But we'll consider the idea after we listen to Sean's solutions. Or Larry, by the way, this is our new city administrator, Larry Cruz.
How do you do?
Just went to work here a week ago for us. Go ahead, Larry.
Mr. Chair, committee, and residents, this problem was referred to me, and then I had asked Jim, our police chief, if we could. I heard that there was a group coming, and this issue was new to me, so I had Jim call and see if we couldn't do something at a staff level to investigate what the options might be. And I think Jim did call, and Jim and Sean, the engineer, have all looked at options since we learned about this. And I think, Jim, you have some information that you could share that.
Sure.
Might be informative for everybody, if you would.
Sure, and I'll just step up to the monitor to point some things out here. And I thank you for bringing it to our attention here, too, because we were aware of the buses downtown, but not aware of the issues with the kids. I've had conversations with the three local bus companies, from Rusted's from Kirkhoven, Palmer from New London, and Wilmer Bus Service about this. And New London does unload at 2nd Street by Heritage Bank. But both Rusted's from KMS and Wilmer Bus Service unload at the library. And the reason that they had been unloading mid-block is they had tried unloading at the corner before down here, and they found that people were turning off at Trott Avenue, not seeing that the stop sign was out, and it was creating more of a safety hazard for the kids. So that's why they moved to mid-block, to hopefully give the bus better visibility. After I talked with both them and KMS a little more at length, what they're going to be trying to do now, or what they're going to be doing, is Wilmer Bus Service and KMS come there at about the same time. Sometimes they're there at the same time, sometimes they're not. Wilmer Bus Service is actually going to unload on Becker Avenue, right at the corner by the Chief Candy Ojai statue, or else across the street or at the crosswalk. They figure that since it's a four-way stop, they'll have some better control of the traffic there and unload the kids at that point. The KMS bus from Rusted's is going to unload it right in front of the law office down here on the corner, And hopefully that'll get more kids off to the correct side of the street into the parking lot, because for, especially for KMS kids, it's parents waiting in the parking lot. For the Womer kids, a number do use the library. And the reason that they do have a Womer bus going downtown is that's for students that live in that downtown area is why that was chosen there. So as of yesterday, Womer bus started their unloading in a different spot. And I think KMS was gonna start either today or tomorrow. They were also gonna work on educating their bus drivers on giving the kids pep talks on things to do and not to do when they get off the bus. And we've also assigned an officer to be down there at those unloading times to help enforce and maybe herding isn't the right term, but with kids, just herding them in the right direction too, to maybe once we can set the rules that more will comply to. So that's where we're at right now for us and our discussions we had with the bus company to try and find some alternate solutions there too.
Go ahead, Larry.
So that's kind of the short-term plan, but Sean said that the city has a plan to redevelop that parking lot, and it's rather expensive, but it's something that probably needs to be done long-term. The library's gonna be there for a long time. And so there's a short-term fix and a long-term fix. And maybe there's something even in between, because we have all the same concerns that you have. Just having these buses drop off in front of the libraries, that's just part of the problem of people just migrating back and forth between the parking lot and the library. So.
Okay, I think you were first, go ahead.
That's all right. I think what the chief said, that would help with the buses, but it isn't a problem with just the buses. Mm-hmm. It's the kids, the parents, and the little kids that use the library, because these kids do not look, and we can say, well, it's their fault, but we know how kids are. And what Mr. Arney said is correct. Someday, somebody's going to get hit, and it's because the people drive so damn fast, pardon my French.
Oh,
but it just that's the biggest problem. And what the answer is, I don't know what's that. Maybe it's a yellow flashing light in the middle of the, because the one by the hospital, people that just press the button, they don't even look when they cross. They just press it. So that's a problem, too. So I'm not saying what the answer is. What he said, well, that will help a lot with the kids on the buses, but it's not just, it goes way beyond just the buses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. By the way, give your name and address when you speak.
Okay, yes.
George Allstrand.
I'm Robin Olson. I own Peterson Shoes. This is not actually the intent for me to be here, but I am interested, obviously, in the welfare of everyone, especially the children. The question that comes to mind for me is there a better area with even less congestion? And we're thinking about downtown and the congestion that we see, and I know the chief is very much aware of the issues we have with driving and double parking and all of those things. I think is going to create just an absolute hodgepodge down there. And my thought here with this particular issue is there a place of even less congestion? You know, the first one that came to mind was Central Office Building. You know, after we moved from Trotton down a couple blocks, well, there we have it. There's a lot less congestion. There's also a parking lot, as I recall, adjacent to Central Office Building, you know. Perhaps that would be just a consideration. I know the luxury of being close to the library, but you know, just dealing with the fact that we're talking about, we have three blocks, we have three intersections in a row, Chief, that are four-way stops, am I correct?
Correct.
So you've got Litchfield, you've got Becker, and you've got Trott.
Right.
And they're all four-way. And just that stop, go, and then you throw buses and children into that, you know, I think you're kind of entertaining, you know, more congestion. Perhaps to defray that to the other side of Trott might be an option. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your solutions and suggestions. And Dick, go ahead, one more time.
Yeah, I think what you've done is just transfer the problem farther north. All you've moved it. And kids are going to be kids.
But it
they're
is.
In a hurry when they get out of the bus.
But it's safer to exit a bus on a four-way stop than it is in the middle of the block.
Well, you've got a four-way stop on Becker, you've got a four-way stop on Trott.
Right, but they'll be on the right side of the street when they exit, as our chief was explaining, you know, that's one solution. We're open to other solutions, Dick. We're not blind to them, but and we appreciate all your suggestions. We'll have a little more discussion up here. Sean, you had, did you have another one you wanted to talk about?
Or? Well, I just wanted to say that the chief can probably elaborate a little bit on the central office parking lot idea, because that came up staff level as well, and he had some answers or some response to that question, that very question.
Sure, I can respond as far as Wilmer Bus on that. They said that with the downtown area, it moves the intent is to get the kids that live in that downtown area, it moves them farther out, so it doesn't fall into that bus plan. I also talked to them about why not pull into the WEAC lot or into the parking lot, and they are unable to do that. They have to, when it comes to some bus rules, even for pulling in a right turn lane to unload, it's a goofy thing, but they can only turn on their four-way flashers. They can't turn on they put their stop arm out and everything. They have to actually be in a control of the road to put out their stop sign. So that's safer for the kids. They also said they're unable to pull into a parking lot and unload kids that way, because then the liability changes completely onto them. There's no, there aren't a lot of set sidewalks, crosswalks in a parking lot and that type of thing. So that was discussed.
But the utilities, not utilities, I'm sorry, but the municipal office buildings down on 3rd and Benson, that would be an issue.
It would be also a similar situation there, yeah. But I appreciate you bringing that up, because that was one thing we discussed, and then I spoke with the bus companies about too, so.
Okay, were there other options too, or basically that's what you wanted him to bring up?
Yeah, because I knew that the chief had talked about that. You know, because we've looked at driving in parking lots, even in the parking lot there at block 50, but they're still going to cross the road. And as you can see, there's, I think I counted 6 access points on the out of that parking lot.
The bus stop, too.
The cat bus stop.
What's that? Yeah. You know, and there, on the other side, you could do that, too, but there's 4 access points on 4th Street. So what's going to happen is everybody that's in the parking lot is going to race out of any of those 6 access points across the street. And so pretty soon you've got a crosswalk, 6 crosswalks in the middle of the block, and that's, you know, that's just, that's not going to work. And it's, you know, you're going to have a college campus situation that where they just walk out anywhere, which is kind of what is going on now, unfortunately. We discussed a little bit about making the bus make 2 rounds so that they drop on the correct side of the street each time. So the people that are getting out of the library, the bus would be going southbound. If they're getting out of the parking lot, they'd be going northbound. But kids are going to get off the first time the door opens, and so that may not work as well as planned. So there are a couple options that we're toying with, and some of them we have discussed, and some of the ideas from the public we've looked into as well. So.
Okay. So let's define the issue of the problem. And one of them is the buses and the school kids. That's one issue by itself. And I think the chief has tried to address that, along with Sean, by dropping them off at the corner in a controlled intersection where they have to get off on the side of the street that they're going to be going. The other issue I hear is not just the school kids getting off and on the buses, but other people, children, coming from the parking lot to the library. Is that the other issue? So there's, well, those are the two. Yeah.
And from the library to the parking lot.
Yeah, back and forth.
Running back over to their drivers or their parents' cars.
Okay, so those are the two issues. I think they've addressed the bus thing here, and I think that's an intelligent way to keep them on the safe side of the street by unloading them at a controlled intersection, like Sean. any other suggestions, solutions, comments, committee? Go ahead, Dennis.
I think one of the things we do need to remember, that just to echo what was said, is the library works really hard, especially in the summertime, to have a lot of programming for kids. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of traffic there, dropping kids off and then going across the street. It is an issue coming out of that parking lot, and I'm wondering, when are we going to redo the Block 50 parking lot? It's not a 16, is that a 17 maybe?
Mr. Chairman, it was a 15 project.
I knew it was a 15, but obviously.
And it's now no longer a 16 project either. because of the close to $500,000 tag that was the original estimate on it, it didn't come up even in conversations for 15. I can consider it any year. We'll have to prioritize which projects we do and those things.
I guess what I'm thinking there is perhaps there are some things that we can do to the parking lot to kind of funnel traffic, pedestrian traffic, somehow.
A short-term fix would be to close a good number of those access points, but it would take restriping,
right,
pulling some of those poles, some bituminous work in the parking lot to kind of rearrange things inside there. And then the conversation happens, do you spend the money on something that's going to get tore up and redone in a number of years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's definitely something to discuss.
Well, you know, I'm not at the library every day. I'm on the Pioneerland board, so I'm there. There is a lot of traffic going back and forth, and it's not just kids. It's adults, because everybody parks over there and walks across. So it's a concern. I don't know how you direct them to, ideally you'd direct them to the corners, where the crosswalks are.
Right.
I can share your concern about creating crosswalks in the middle of the street. It may not be the answer, but in the short term, it might be. I go up and down Trot enough. I know that's pretty well it's traveled, but when those flashing lights come on, for the most part, people stop. I don't know. It's not there's not an easy solution. I think the buses are part of it, and I think we can address that. But there's a lot of traffic that goes into that library.
Audrey, go ahead.
And the comment was mentioned about speed, and I'm just curious if there's anything we can do to slow traffic down. And I think about, you know, turning off from Trot, going on to Fifth, either direction kind of thing, if there is anything kind of something that we can do to deal with. And it's, I think about, I go to that dentist and I turn, you know, you
sure,
make that complete, or you're in and out of the parking lot, and I don't know what the solution is. I'm just curious if we can address speed, and what does it cost to put up just a light that flashes?
You'd be surprised.
I'm curious what it would cost, and if it's something that could be moved once the parking lot's done, or, you know, I'm curious.
You mean to put a mid-block in with a flashing light?
Not, I'm just talking about a flashing light that reminds people that there are
slow down
kind of things.
I can look at the prices for you and look at that. I guess I have a hard time doing something for this block that wouldn't, in reality, qualify for entire downtown,
mm-hmm,
because people are crossing mid-block everywhere.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
Part of the inherent nature of a central business district is people cross,
yeah,
wherever they want.
We had the conversation about Frida's, and
yep,
we talked about,
yep,
you know, I don't know that that's a solution either, because there's a lot of entrances and exits,
yep,
from that parking lot.
Which is why there's crosswalks every,
mm-hmm,
roughly 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anywhere you park along there, you're no farther than 150 feet from a crosswalk.
Andrew, anything?
It's interesting. I know the studies, but there's a lot of solid data behind what you're talking about. It's not just a notion that you know, about a false sense of security that a crosswalk can provide. I mean, there's a lot of hard data. I remember back about 14 years ago, I lived in Edina while I was going to school. That's kind of while they were developing the area, 50th in France, if you're familiar with that area town. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic, and somebody suggested that they put a mid-block crosswalk through, which they did, to get the traffic speed down, because people were driving 40 plus through there, and they wanted people going slow. And they finally did that. They did yellow stripes, and then they did a sign kind of in the middle of the street. And the good thing was that the traffic slowed down, so typical traffic speeds came down about 10, 15 miles per hour. But lo and behold, somebody, without stopping a pedestrian, walked right out onto the street in front of a truck and was struck by the truck. Now the truck was going 25 miles an hour, which is a reasonable speed comparatively, but the individual was still severely hurt because they thought, and it was reported this way, that they thought the yellow striping meant that they were free to walk and that the vehicles had to stop. so the individual didn't look. And this was an adult, so I imagine if that's a problem with adults, then for kids, you know, I understand it, and it makes the problem a little bit more complicated. But I do agree that with, you know, especially with it being children, it's incumbent on us to take it seriously. And now that the matter is really in front of us, we can't just ignore it. We have to address it, both short term, which I feel is being done, but also long term. We got to look at it, because we would be kicking ourselves if somebody ended up getting hurt.
Well, we need to look at any solutions that are viable. The one of the problems there is those four-way stops, or three streets, and four-way stops. These people aren't going through their, they're speeding up and not slowing down there at the stop sign. You know, so there's a stop sign and they turn the corner, they're speeding up, they're not slowing down. And then you put something yellow there, I don't, is it going to step on the gas and hit the brake? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. It could be a problem. If it was a throughway, three-block area, and you had a yellow or flashing lights, people will slow down. But these are just starting at the stop sign, and so they're speeding up. But go ahead.
I had one quick thought. I know in other areas of town, specifically regarding law enforcement, other areas of town, if there are problems with speed, if there is increased or enhanced enforcement in those areas, do you typically see traffic patterns change as a result of that?
We often will, at least for short term. Okay. One thing we run into in the downtown area is that a lot of times the acceleration, the rapid acceleration that happens after stopping at a stop sign, they aren't up to the speed where it would be considered a speed violation. Okay. If they don't spin their tires, it's not considered a, which apparently does happen more than we know, but that's not considered an unreasonable acceleration ordinance violation there. So we do have some difficulties with enforcement on that.
So what are the thoughts regarding changes in speed limits in localized areas? I mean, I don't know the data behind that, so.
Is the speed limit downtown?
It's 30, as far as I know, everywhere, yeah. Does that be, I assume, ordinance change, or I don't know what?
I think that's regulated by state law.
Yeah, I think the state statute does indicate maximum speed, but I believe we could go lower.
So what do you, I mean, just an idea, it could be a horrible idea, but what do you think about a change in speed limit and then increase in law enforcement? Because I would imagine that if they're not hitting that 30 mile per hour threshold, if there's nothing that can be done, okay. But maybe some of them are surpassing the 20 mile per hour threshold, which could be, which could be quite a few, and you increase enforcement on that. Just an idea. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I rather doubt they're hitting 30 miles an hour between four-way stops.
Right.
Probably max of 20. Probably normal of 15, because you got to stop in another block. Slow down, you stop.
Yeah.
You take off, you stop. So it's a kind of unique situation. Audrey, go ahead.
I'm just curious if the library, if any other communities, if there are 10 mile an hour speed limits in front of a library or something in other communities or any.
And I don't know that answer.
Okay.
A lot of times you'll see signs that say when children are present. 20 miles an hour, 30, 15, whatever it is. And again, signs can be a false sense of security too. I mean, you see one, well, I'm going to cross because there's a sign over there. Oh, and all of a sudden somebody zips through there. But you had a question? Go ahead.
Just one more thing. I don't think this should be tied to what happens at Block 50, because they've been talking about this for 50 years. What are we going to do with Block 50?
Well,
I think there should be a short-term solution. What that is, people brought it up. It's not an easy matter, but I think that's the thing you should deal with now.
Yep.
And Block 50, that's, who knows, maybe another 100 years it'll still be just like it is. So.
Yeah, it could be. Thanks for bringing that up again. What would you like to do with this? Evidently, it's going to take some more studying. And I mean, the solution you proposed is, you know, the yellow lines in the middle of the block with the walkway. You know, it's.
Try it.
We could try it, but I'm afraid, which entrance from that parking lot across the street do you put it at? Do you put it in the middle? Because
I'll tell you, whichever entrance people are walking out, they're going across the street. Right. If they aren't going to go to the corner and cross, I doubt if they're going to go to the middle of the block and follow that yellow path. I really, we're creatures of habit, people, and we do the same thing over and over, and it's going to be that way. Larry,
you know, I think you're absolutely right that people will take the shortest path. I've experienced similar situations. And the only way really to curb that probably is when you redo the parking lot, or maybe an interim solution is to have a decorative fence on the parking lot that channels people to the corner. And as unpopular as it is, it's probably the only way you're going to get people to change their mode of operation.
Go ahead.
That's just what I was thinking, that if somehow maybe we could even close off one or two of those entrances, and maybe you sacrifice some parking spots so you can come down and turn and go the other way without going into the street to turn around. I don't know that it would be a big expense, but then if we could block off a few of the entrance exits and somehow then force people with the fence, be it whatever, to the corner. Because if you can block off those things, then people can't go across there, you know?
Yeah, and just thinking out loud here, one of the concerns I have, and Larry and I talked about this a little bit, is you can block off a couple of them, but if you block off all of the entrances onto Fifth, then you're funneling all the traffic onto Trot, yeah, which is not a great idea because it's one of the, you know, one of the busier mm-hmm. streets in town. And so there are definitely some considerations to think about in all aspects here.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we're going to solve it tonight, but I think the staff is going to have maybe come back with some other ideas.
I would agree with that.
Audrey, I'd like to hear about what we can do about the speed. Would it be terrible to slow it down to 15 or 10? Are there examples of other places where that might be successful?
Okay. Go ahead, Larry.
I'd just like to say, I think, you know, the state law pretty much sets speed limit uniformly, except for school zones, and then we could investigate if that, for whatever reason, can be transferred to a library. But
you don't think we can just
change the speed limit, I don't believe. And in the meantime, the police department could maybe see how fast people are going there. Jim, you
sure.
could do a little study. And
we could put out one of our speed trailers in the area, too. It would take a parking spot, but that would be a minimal issue there. Yeah.
Okay, any final comments? We're going to take everything that you've said today for information. Our staff is going to work on this and come up with some concrete ideas, the speeds, and we're dealing with an odd situation there with three or four entrances to that parking lot from that block that's between two four-way stops, and it's dangerous coming and going out of there. It's close to Trot Avenue. So we'll take this for information, and we'll put it on another 2 weeks agenda, 2 weeks from now. Is that going to give you enough time to think about it? And you can probably put your head together with the chief and our administrator and see if there's any other ideas. But we'll take it for information and bring it back to the public in 2 weeks. And you're sure welcome to come. We meet Tuesdays at 4:45 every other Tuesday. Thank you for coming and for commenting, and we'll definitely consider this and try to come up with a viable solution so we can make downtown safe for kids and adults, both.
Thank you very much for the consideration. The traffic has increased dramatically, Ron,
yep.
in the last 5 years, and some of it is very fast, and older people trying to get across with crutches and walkers are having a really difficult time. But I know that the heart appeal is always to children, and none of us wants to see a child hurt.
No, we understand that totally. And
thank you.
We'll try to come up with something that's a short-term solution until this thing gets done. Go ahead, you had a comment? Give your name and address, please.
I was going to say, by the way, that parking lot is a disaster. There are some big holes in it that you could fall over and break a leg, even if you can run across it. Amen.
We'll be looking at that too. One more comment.
Yeah, John Bacon from the library. I was just gonna throw out that I really like the reduced speed idea. So I know you're gonna investigate it, but I think that would be, if we can't get the crosswalk, that reduced speed would be the ticket.
Mm-hmm. We'll be doing something there because
it's
a dangerous area.
And thanks for your consideration.
Yes.
No problem. Thank you all for coming.
Appreciate
Thank
it
you much.
Very, very
yep.
much. Thank you.
Yep. We'll go on to number three, police and fire updates. Chief Bell.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The jail census as of this morning was 157 inmates. Out of that, 84 were from the Department of Corrections, 68 from Candiota County, and 5 from Swift County. Calls for service since December 29th, which is the last two-week time period, is 759 calls for service. Top three on there were traffic stops, public assists, which are pretty constant, and number three this time was abandoned vehicles. That officers investigated. Just for a point of note, in 2015 we had 19,575 calls for service for the police department. That averages out between 53 and 54 calls for service per day for our department. That was 1,493 calls greater than the year prior in 2014 and greater than the last 4 years on record anyway. And this year we're tracking that we're actually 4 days ahead of last year at this point. So we're actually 200 calls above the 2015 level. So.
And some of that is due to the social services?
A little bit. You know, we're also, when I ran some of the numbers, we're handling a lot of calls that don't, public assists you see is usually the number two on our list, and it's a lot of undefined calls for service, kind of, I hate to say catch-all, but it's just you don't have a good way of grouping those calls. It can be everywhere from, checking on items in the roadway to delivering emergency messages to
sure.
a lot of odds and ends type things, so... That's ranking very high. Fortunately, the first statistics are violent crimes in 2015. We're not significantly above or below the year prior. They're pretty constant. So, we'll always work to decrease those whenever we can. But
super. Any questions or comments of the chief? It's icy out. Be careful.
Yeah, that's right.
Chief Frank.
Thank you, sir. Over the past two-week period, we've had 16 calls. Of those 16, 15 of them have occurred since January 1st. Calls for 2015 ended up totaling 333 calls, approximately 24 calls above 2014. So, as of the 15 calls so far this year, we've had 4 alarms, 4 motor vehicle accidents we've responded to, 3 carbon monoxide alarms, and then 3 sprinkler flow alarms. Carbon monoxide is a growing thing. out of the 3, 2 of them, the alarms were actually too old and were just failing. Just a reminder that those need to be changed every 5 years. So, and batteries every year in those. So that's kind of where we're sitting. We have received our new SCBA equipment. We'll start training on that Thursday. Our goal is to have that in service by March 1st. So that is what I have. If you have any questions?
The sprinkler system flow thing, what was that about?
If you have a sprinkler system in a business, they have to be connected to your alarm. Every once in a while, when it gets cold, they'll send out false alarms.
Okay, so then the alarm goes off.
Then the alarm goes off.
I see. Okay, Sean, you want to get on to the next one here?
Sure. Something? So, first one in front of you, item number 5 on your agenda is project number 1503A, which is state aid overlays. Recommended action be to approve change order number 1 in the amount of almost $9,500, and the total amount for finalizing the project of $30,511. 51 cents.
Committee.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the change order for 1503-A, change order number 1, and it's final payment, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That does pass. Change order 1503-B.
1503-B is the local street overlays. And once again, this is a final payment as well. And this does include a change order number 1 in the amount of $1,254 and it looks like 310 cents. I'm sure that's supposed to be 31 cents. Accept the project, recommended action be to accept the project and the final payment, or authorized final payment of $9,262.14.
Committee.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the change order 1503-B as stated. Any further comments or questions? And not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That one passes. We're up to the airport update.
I included in your packet the one-page summary estimate from our airport manager, and so it's for information only, and basically just gives you updates and activities I try to do occasionally to the committee. I'm not sure of note, specifically note in there, the made me feel pretty good, the third paragraph about the public works guys flawlessly during our snow events makes you feel pretty good, and then activities slowing down for us with the cold weather.
What is a NOTAM, N-O-T-A-M?
Notice to Airmen is what it stands for. And what happens is anytime there is anything out of the ordinary on an airport, that has to be filed with the FAA. And there's only certain people that are certified to file those. And then pilots look at those NOTAMs as they go to airports to see. Sometimes there's equipment on the runway. Sometimes there's ice on the runway. Sometimes, you know, it's anything that is out of a clean,
out of the ordinary.
Dry,
correct. Okay, and that's, well, you should observe those snow events throughout the month. Okay, is that like December or something?
I assume, yep, monthly report for December, yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, so if it snows and before we get a chance to get all the snow off the runway, you know, they'll issue a NOTAM saying there's still snow on the runway, or they might just issue a blanket one that says winter conditions, mm-hmm. you know, winter landing conditions, or if the lights are out. Or
something, out of,
something
out of the ordinary.
Correct.
Okay. Any comments or questions on the airport? Any old business to be brought up? Any new business to be brought up? Excuse me, 1 minute. Go ahead.
One thing. I had heard some discussion. Was a couple interesting articles that I read regarding upcoming 2016 road building and the effects that petroleum prices are going to have on road building scenarios across the United States, and some communities were opting to take advantage, and some developers and some construction companies were approaching municipalities, saying, "Hey, we expect our bids to be down. You know, we expect it to be fairly competitive." And so some communities were being proactive, I guess, trying to get back ahead of the game regarding road construction and addressing various roadway issues. I didn't know at all if that plays into our scenario or not, but I thought it was maybe worth bringing up and having some discussion. Is that going to impact prices? Are we going to be getting a better buy? And if so, can we stretch our dollars further?
This was brought up a few years ago, too, during the slowdown from 08 to 11. Prices were down. There wasn't a lot of jobs out there, so we had talked about doing more streets, and I don't know if it was prior to you coming, and yeah, I don't recall if we do some extra stuff or not, Dennis. But
my recollection, and that's best, I don't really think we did anything. We just took advantage of the reduced prices.
Yeah, but it's something to think about. And I don't know if there's. First, we got to have the money.
Yeah.
You know, we got to have the money and dedicate it to that, and then this might be something you can think about.
The project list this year is longer than it's been in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we're already doing more than we have in the last couple of years, you know, by a small amount, but
sure.
potentially taking some advantage of that. We, on the other hand, we did anticipate them being significantly lower last year, and they weren't necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that comes into play when number of contractors bidding, their workload, it's anybody's guess what those bids are going to come in each year. We are doing a few more streets this year, a few
mm-hmm.
more miles, or a few more lengths of streets, overlay and reconstruct. So,
one manner, we are taking advantage of it, in a manner of speaking, because we're doing more.
So. Yeah, and we have to bond for what we can't cover. So, we'd be taking advantage by bonding less, I guess, is, you know, one way to look at it as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, some, and just point of discussion, but there are some communities down in Florida, they're actually they were actually doing bonding, they, you know, they kind of had some town halls about it, and they said, you know what, this is an opportunity for us to do a bunch of overlay work that that can keep our roads from falling into disrepair, and they opted, their communities opted to do it. They thought it was worth biting the bullet and going for, and I just think it's worth talking about, that's all.
Okay, okay.
I've taken some comments and questions about sidewalks and kind of what our policy is, and I've talked with Larry about it too, about I don't know if we're enforcing our ordinance regarding sidewalks, but just the walkability in our community, and sometimes you'll see a sidewalk clean, but when you get to the handicapped corner, that corner's not clean, that you can't actually cross that way. So I'm just curious about, I should go and read it myself, but I'm wondering if you could just take a look at it and maybe step up the pace a little bit.
I know the homeowners are responsible for the sidewalk keeping it clean, including the end of the street where the handicapped part of it or whatever, and the fire
hydrants.
They're supposed to be cleaned also. I don't know how you enforce them, or probably the newspaper could put a little article in there, you know, just mention that, hey, keep them hydrants clean and the end of the sidewalks. But
there's a lot that aren't done right now, and I don't know.
I see.
I mean, I don't know that we have staff going out to do that. I don't know if we should have. I think I was just curious what the actual ordinance is and how Public Works is treating that, what we're doing. Curious what sidewalks we actually clean as a city too, when it comes to like Wilmer Avenue, or what sidewalks we're actually responsible for.
Yeah, and I believe we clean the arterials and collectors, and we do some of the Central Business District.
First Street.
Yep, but the beyond that, it is the homeowner's property owner's responsibility to clean those walks.
Okay.
And beyond that, I don't know penalties. I don't know enforcement. I don't know.
Is that something that we could just review?
Absolutely.
Okay. When it's convenient.
Is that, I wonder if that's not enforced on a complaint basis.
Probably.
I'm sure it is, much like so, lawn mowing.
Because we're not paying for it.
Because it's much of the fees you guys approved last meeting.
Right.
The nuisance fees, it's involved in that.
So we need a citizen's help if there's, you know, areas. And, you know, and sidewalks need to be clean. You have children walking on them, you have a lot of people walking them. And right now, everything is icy. And it's been easy to not shovel because it's just a little bit of snow, but it's ice.
Because you can't.
I think.
Well, I think it's an issue. We could review that maybe next time, because it's going to snow again here. You had something else in the back.
Yes, thank you. Two items that I don't, apologetically don't know if it comes under old business or new. Is my understanding this. These two subjects had been brought up previously at the last meeting, such as this. One of which is the enforcement regulation of parking meters over the weekend period. And as to when that will be addressed, I would just like to be present at that meeting. Probably will not be tonight. And the other one, which...
Parking meters or parking?
Just enforcement the 2-hour of parking.
Okay.
Meters and what have you. In the downtown area specifically. The concern there that, you know, those parking spots will be available to customers in the downtown area. And the other one to another public safety concern, which is every week it seems like there's an incident per se, and that is the entrance off of, pardon me, off of Highway 12 onto 5th Street by Frida's Cafe there. Just very dangerous. More and more individuals that take the liberty to just stop in front of the cafe and unload as, and lots of times I really truly don't believe it's an issue of senior citizens or handicapping. I think it's just an issue of convenience. But it's a very dangerous situation when individuals, especially coming in, from the, from the west, and make that turn that can be pretty much of a blind turn, and we have individuals that are stopping there. Obviously more so probably in the morning than in the afternoon, but it's just something that I think warrants some additional attention. Thank you.
on the parking situation. We had that for us 2 or 4 weeks ago, and we decided not to. I guess the request was to not ticket from actually Friday through to Monday, and we opted to not do that. We're
keep
still
it
enforcing
as
the parking downtown.
Okay.
I forget what the Saturday parking was, so I think it's the same as any other day. Only they force it up to noon, was it?
It was 8 a.m. till 11 p.m. on a Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So where it was 8 to 5 on weekdays. And the original discussion was to eliminate parking restrictions on a Saturday.
Correct.
And I spoke with Mrs. Doherty, who was kind of one of the groups that our captain met with, and kind of our understanding was initially that the downtown groups were in favor of getting rid of Saturday parking. And when I talked with her further, she said that after some further consideration, they felt that would not be a good choice to make after all. So at least from our plan was not to move forward to kind of to business as usual, according to the ordinance, unless there was some direction otherwise. But
and as far as the Fridas, we had a discussion on that, and I guess we haven't really heard back what, we talked about putting a fence across there, so you got to walk down to the corner and come across. It would keep the most elderly people off of them, but I can see people crawling over the fence, unless it's 6 feet tall. And we're creatures of habit again, and
sure,
we just do the same thing over and over again, even if it's dangerous, and hoping we don't get shot one day, but...
But if it's cars stopping on the roadway, I'll certainly let our officers know that that's happening there too. So.
Is there a caution sign there at all? I don't use that entrance that much, but is there something?
I don't think there's anything
there. I think there's just a one-way sign there, I think, is the only signage for that block.
Anything that's going to grab someone's attention probably would help there. Even include, they have these little kids that are green and yellow and orange that you can put out on the sidewalk. It does catch your attention. I mean, when I see them, people put them in neighborhoods, and I don't think it's the police department. I think it's the people buy it.
Correct.
And it, you see that orange or yellow or green, and it makes you double look. Go ahead, Audrey.
If I understand correctly, that's a state. The speed is set by the state on the bypass, correct?
I believe so.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
And it's 30 miles an hour, even around that curve.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Coming off of it, you can be going 30 and hit somebody pretty quickly. But maybe something cautionary could be put in there until we come up with something concrete. But it's, we have to assume people are going to use their brains when they, common sense tells you, if you're going to cross there, you're taking your life into your hands. It isn't my fault that you're doing it. It's not the chief's fault you're doing it. It's a public sidewalk, but it's we got to stress common sense, and people have to be responsible for their own actions a lot of times. And we're trying to protect somebody from their own actions. I mean, how far do you go? We probably should put a sign there: please cross it at the intersection. And if you don't, your hands are in your your life's in your hands, but we're still thinking about what to do there. Any other old business come before the committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to
so move.
Go home and get warm. We are